Thank you for being here this morning. You heard that text that Christy read, the words of the Apostle Paul. Now, in that reading, the Apostle Paul is recalling an earlier life, when he was an enemy of God and an enemy of the church. In his own words here and elsewhere, we learn that Paul was a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence. He acted ignorantly in unbelief. In short, he was lost. He was horribly lost. Then Jesus chased him down on the Damascus Road and gracefully brought Paul home. Home to a church that welcomed sinners. Now, if we were honest, I would guess that we all have a little bit in common with the Apostle Paul. We have checkered past, probably not violent for most of us, but we have broken past nonetheless. We have broken vows and we have broken hearts. We regret things that we did, and perhaps even more, we regret things that we didn't do that we should have done. But God is patient with us. God is merciful. God will not be deterred. God will not give up on us. God will track us down and bring us home. God will dry our tears and hold us tenderly in nail-scarred hands. Yes, it's messy work loving sinners, and it's messy work dying on a cross. Jesus is headed for that cross as we enter our story today in the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. And I might as well tell you right up front, right away, honestly, this is my favorite chapter in the entire Bible. As we enter the story now, we find that Jesus is in trouble. Listen in. Now all of the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus was in trouble. The Pharisees and the scribes were powerful people. They were the protectors of the tradition. They were the guardians of the law. They were God's chosen people, chosen to deliver good news to all the people of the world, chosen to deliver God's invitation to the party, to the table, to the place of grace. That's what they were called to. But they decided instead to get out the guest list themselves and to go over it with a fine-tooth comb. They ordered background checks on everyone. They needed to weed out the undesirables. And make no mistake about it, at this point in his ministry, Jesus had become an undesirable. Now, there are two kinds of undesirables: pathetic undesirables and dangerous undesirables. Pathetic undesirables were shunned, they were pitied, they were excluded, they were labeled unclean, not worthy of God's love. There was no need to waste precious time on them. Just stay away from them. They were mostly harmless. Dangerous undesirables needed to be dealt with. They needed to be stopped before they upset the order and caused problems for the comfortable religious folks. Jesus was now a dangerous undesirable who was hanging out with pathetic undesirables. He was spending too much time with known sinners like tax collectors and prostitutes. It was enough to make a Pharisee grumble. Jesus called them in closer. He said, "Let me get this straight. You're offended by my behavior? Well, let me tell you a couple of stories, parables that will tell you how it is with God." So Jesus continued. He said, "There once was a man who had 100 sheep, but But then one of them was misplaced. It wandered off. It was separated from the rest. So the shepherd left the 99 in an attempt to find the one. He left the 99, not in the sheep pen, but in the wilderness. He took off and went on a frantic search for the one who was lost. He looked behind every bush, on every hillside, and in the deep canyons. When he finally found that lost sheep, he embraced it. He rubbed its nose. He laid it upon his shoulders, rejoicing as he returned to the others. And then suddenly, quite suddenly, he was overwhelmed by his good fortune. He said, "I never thought I would find this sheep again. What were the odds? I feel like this is a gift. I am so lucky. I think when I get home, I'm going to call all my friends over and celebrate. After all, this sheep was lost, and now it is found. It's time to throw a party." And so he did just that. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and asked, "Are you offended by this story?" A Pharisee pulled at his beard, and he said, "No. Not really. I think it's a stupid story. I mean, if you know where the 99 are now, and there's only one that you cannot find, then why in the world would you risk losing the 99 and go look for the one that you have no idea where it is? It seems, Jesus, that it's going against the law of averages. And another thing, Jesus, we would not hire this guy to watch our sheep. So yes, we are amused by your storytelling, but no, we are not offended." And Jesus said, "Well, let me try again. There once was a woman who had 10 silver coins. Then one day she counted them, and in horror she realized she was missing one of the coins. She was obsessed now with finding it. It had to be somewhere, but where? She lit a lamp. She swept the floor. She moved the refrigerator. She looked high and low. She could not rest until she had found that coin. Despair started settling in. She felt a knot forming in her stomach. And then boom, just like that, she found the coin. It was a gift. Overwhelmed by her good fortune, she said, 'Oh my, I didn't think I would ever see this coin again. I'm so happy. I'm going to call my friends and invite them over to celebrate. My coin was lost, and now it's found, so it's party time.' And the woman and her friends had a blast." The master storyteller Jesus had now set the stage for the final parable, the story that he wanted to tell them all along. Now remember how this all started. The Pharisees were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus had drawn in the self-righteous religious grumblers, and now he was about to pull the rug right out from under them. Jesus said, "There once was a man who had 2 sons. The younger one was rather obnoxious. In fact, one day he approached his father and said, 'Dad, I have a lot that I want to do and see in this world. I'm tired of living and working here on this farm. I'm tired of working for you, Dad. So let me tell you with my idea. Let's just pretend that you are dead. You see, Dad, I have plans for my life, and they don't include this farm. I have plans, but I'm going to need some cash, Dad. So give me my share of my inheritance right now." Hearing this, the Pharisees tore at their clothes. The veins in their neck were popping out. A disrespectful son like this deserved a good beating. Jesus continued. The father divided the estate between the wild-haired younger brother and the good, faithful, dutiful older son who worked the farm each and every day. The younger son took the money and he hit the road. He wasted the money on wine, women, and song. He lived like a rock star. He forgot the values of his father and he had a grand time. After all, he had several grand in his pocket. Then, predictably, the money ran out. He was broke and lost in a foreign land, and his American Express card was maxed out. So he took a job caring for, the Pharisees looked at Jesus. Yes, what? Caring for what? Jesus said, caring for pigs. Pigs, you do remember how Jews like pigs, do you not? What a disgusting kid. What a disgrace to his father. What a disgrace to his family. What a disgrace to the traditions of Judaism. It was an outrage. But at least this son was finally getting what he had coming to him, what he deserved, a swine's eye view of life. But Jesus was not done. He continued saying, then the boy came to his senses. He was tired of the pig pen. He wanted a bed, some food, a clean shirt. He came to his senses and said, listen, I'm dying here. I think that I will drag my sorry rear end back home. He would go back and he'd throw himself at the mercy of his father. And as he walked back, he began to write a speech in his mind begging for forgiveness. Well, the Pharisees had heard enough. They interrupted Jesus. They said, he deserves death. He is unclean and unworthy, disrespectful and disgusting. His sin has put him outside of the family. And Jesus said, hang on a minute. I'm not quite done. The father received word that his son was on the way home. And with that, the old man began to run. He ran as if he was a teenager. And when he met his lost son, he threw his arms around him, he kissed him on the cheek, and he welcomed him home. The father then called his servants and said, bring the robe of honor and put it on my son and put a ring on his finger and place new sandals on his feet and then go out to the fields and kill the fatted lamb and prepare a feast. For I never thought that I would see this son again. He was lost and now he has been found and it's time to have a party. Are you offended? Well, let me tell you who was offended. Driving up to the barn from the North 40 was the oldest son. And as he approached the house on his John Deere tractor, he noticed that the circular driveway was full of cars. And he could see dancing in the house. And he could hear music from outside. And he could smell the charcoal burning. And as he came closer to the front door to open it, a balloon slipped out and floated up into the blue sky. Well, the older son wanted to know what was going on, and he wanted to know right now. So he called one of the servants over, and the servant said, come on in. We're having a celebration. Your brother has returned, and your father is happier than we have seen him in months. We have killed the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. Come on in. Can I get you some champagne? And the older brother said, no, I think I'll pass. In fact, I'm not coming in at all. I have a little work to do out here on the John Deere. Well, imagine now the reversal of fortune for the father. This poor guy had no sooner found his lost son than he lost his stay-at-home son, a son who now refused to come into the house. So the father goes out. He finds the boy. And he begs his son to join the party. But the older son was offended. He said, sure, Dad, sure. Yeah, I'll come in. But first, tell me, when was the last time you had a party for me? We have had to work lots of overtime since this bum son of yours left home. And now he runs out of money. He gets done with the wine and the women and the song. He comes home and you have a party for him? Pardon me, Dad. I'm not amused by this. I don't have time for a party. I have work to do, and I'm heading out. The father asked him to come in, but the older brother would have none of it. He was not impressed. In fact, he was offended, and that's it. That's how the story ends. Jesus just stops right there. Are you offended? Well, I hope so. The Pharisees were offended. The scribes were offended. This was a disgusting story. And the Pharisees and the scribes had had about enough of this Jesus. Who wants parties for prodigals anyway? A robe for a lawbreaker, a ring for a good-for-nothing bum, sandals for a man who lived with pigs, the prize calf for a scheming, disrespectful son. No, this was an outrage. and the Pharisees and the scribes were not going to put up with this type of teaching. If they did, soon all order would be lost, the law would not be upheld, people would not be kept in line, the taxes would not come into the temple treasury. This was not the way you order the world. You see it, you do it, and then you reap it. You make your bed and you lie in it. There's no free lunch. You earn your way and don't ever forget it. That's the religious way, and that's the way it is in this world. But Jesus told these stories to explain God's way. So help me now. I want to make sure you're with me. I want to see if you're paying attention. So we're going to review. There once was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one got. So he looked and looked and looked, and finally the sheep was. In his joy, he said, "Hey, hey, it's time to have a." There once was a woman who had 10 coins, but one got. So she swept and cleaned and hunted everywhere until it was. And she said, "Oh ho, I never thought I'd see that coin again. It's time for a party." There once was a father who had 2 sons, but the younger one got terribly lost. And after losing all that he had, he came to his senses and he was. So his father said, "Thank goodness, I never expected to see my son again. It's time to have a party." And Jesus said, that's the way it is. That's the way it is in the kingdom of God. And don't forget it. But the religious folks were offended. And they vowed to put an end to this nonsense. They vowed to get rid of this Jesus before he did more harm than he already had. And so they did. They nailed him to a cross just to make sure that the world understands how you play the game of life. They wanted to have the last word, and they got it. Almost. It seems that they were safe. But as he was dying on that cross, Jesus caught the eye of another man who would die this day. This man was hanging on a cross because he deserved it. You do remember his occupation, don't you? That's right, he was a thief. He was a good-for-nothing thief, a criminal, a lawbreaker. He had made his bed, and now he was lying in it. And as he was on that cross dying, that dirty thief caught Jesus' eye, and he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And do you know what that Jesus said to him? "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." May I paraphrase for you? He looked at that thief, that sinner, and he says to that thief, "Lost, found, party." Amen.